Okay, we've got open lines for you now, right here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm going to ask just one group of you to make some phone calls. So this one thing has baffled me for years. How many of you have little nail clippers, right? I mean, we're human beings. You clip your nails because you don't want them to get too long, right? You don't want feet that look like Howard Hughes did before he passed on. I have seen these contractions, and I've been looking at them. How many of you have ever clipped your finger? Not the fingernail, but you missed and you bit off part of your finger with one of those things. I think that's possible. I got into an argument with somebody today that said that the fingernail clipper, it's impossible to nip your finger no matter how you do it. I don't think that's true. I think you could literally chop off your finger if you don't do it right. So if that's happened to you, check in with us as well, too. I know there's a lot of other things going on you want to talk about, but that's my little question of the night. So we'll be back in a moment with Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back, and here we go with Open Lines. Let's, you know, we've put in a Skype line just for purposes like this. We're going to Subah in India. Hey, Subah, welcome to the program.
Oh, hello, George. Good to talk to you again.
You too. How are things in your neck of the woods?
It's great. Let me ask you this. Do you know what time is it here in India at this time?
Let me guess, because here where I am in Los Angeles, it's 12 a.m. We just turned past midnight. I would guess in India, is it 8 o'clock in the morning?
No, it is actually 1:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, wow. What a time difference.
Yeah, it makes it easy for me to just get online and try to call you and talk to you.
Here you are. Well, you know, in this country, we have a lot of people that stay up late at night, too, where, you know, where we are. So tell me, what's the mood going on in the country in India? What do they think of things, and what's on your mind?
The mood of it, I really don't know, because I just go to office and back. So when it comes to any issues with 2012 and all those, I really don't know what exactly to say, because a lot of people watch the television. And the fear factor is a lot worse here than the fear factor that is put out in U.S. So it is a little bit more blatant out here.
That's probably true. Now, in India, you know, we hear things like there's too many people, they can't all eat. Do people all eat?
It's got a lot better. So the city where I'm living in Bangalore, it looks like everybody got a job. So since you asked the question of food eating, I'll give you a very good example.
Okay.
The currency conversion, so $1 is like 50 rupees right now. That is a conversion. So everybody earns in rupees. So if you want to have an average good meal, you're spending around 40 rupees in a place. People also eat on the street. They're spending an average of 10 to 20 rupees. Yet at the same time, you can go to a very nice place and you can spend 300 rupees or maybe 800 rupees for lunch. So you got that really that wide range of spending capacity for the same amount of things. And you have people all over, a lot of migrants, they have come from different parts of India to work here because they can't find any local people. So compared to 10, 20 years ago, there is more nutrition out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you ever seen Hindi dancers?
Hindi dancers?
Yeah.
You're talking about Bollywood dancers?
Like, is that what they call them, Bollywood dancing or Hindi dancing?
It's called, Bollywood is basically B stands for Bombay, so they added Hollywood. So that is where you have the Indian film industry. So that's what they do dancing.
Which is now in Mumbai, right?
Mumbai. And it is so competitive because when I was living in L.A., I did some photography of some Indian people. I said, why can't you try Bollywood? They said, no, it is so competitive. You have people all over the world from Brazil and Chile and Europe. They all want to get into Bollywood just to do one dance number. And it is, and they get more recognition worldwide than Hollywood.
Yeah, that's true. I think the women who dance that way are some of the best dancers I've ever seen.
Yeah, and it's a if I go back into the 70s, they used to have only like two people dancing. They never had a group of people dancing. So I was wondering why. So I realized, you know, the cost of the film is a lot, and you have like 10, 15 people trying to everybody dance in synchronization. You just have to waste a lot of film.
That's a good point.
Two people. And now you have everybody dancing in sync, because I've seen little children trying to do dancing in synchronization. You have to train them for like a week or 2 weeks, and yet once they get onto the stage, you'll see different people doing different steps.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen 20, 25 people all dancing, you know, in sync. That's it. That's an art, to be sure.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do for the rest of your day?
Well, in a short time, I just have to prepare for lunch and go outside and spend some time with around here in Bangalore.
Okay, my friend, be safe. That's Subah out there in India on the Skype line. Let's go to Tony in Denver, Colorado. Welcome to the program, Tony. Go ahead.
Yeah, George, you said if anybody's ever cut their finger with fingernail clippers, I've done a couple times.
Ouch. Ouch.
Yeah.
I mean, did you really, like, snip it?
I got my little toe once. I cut the tip off of it.
You cut the tip off your toe with a toenail clipper?
Yeah.
See, there are some people out there that say it's impossible the way these things are made. They can't clip the skin. And you are living proof that they're wrong.
Yeah, because some of them, they're made so sharp, you nick the corner of your finger and it goes right through.
So what did you do with the piece of your toe that you chopped off?
Just threw it away.
So now did it grow back or no?
Yeah.
It did?
Yeah. I got what's called crow's feet. Crow's toe.
Because of that? Or you had that before?
I've had that before. That's why I cut it off.
Did you bleed?
Not really. I don't bleed much.
What do you mean you don't bleed much? You're human, aren't you?
Yeah, I sliced my arms open before bad enough. I need stitches, and they didn't bleed.
Do doctors are they puzzled by this?
Yeah.
And they have no idea why you don't bleed.
Nope.
That is strange, isn't it? Why do you think you don't bleed? You know you've got blood, right?
Yeah, I have no idea. A lot of times I can barely cut myself with like a paper cut. I'll bleed like a sieve. And a deep cut, I don't bleed.
So there have been times you do bleed?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought for a moment, Tony, you might have been a vampire or something.
Not yet, no.
Not yet. Okay, thanks for that. See, I knew you could clip your fingers or your toenails with those clippers if you weren't doing it right. Let's go to Norfolk, Virginia. Sam's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Sam, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. Thank you.
Sure. And so Sam is your full name?
Or no, I actually, that's just in the nickname I go by.
It's Samantha, isn't it?
No, that's actually not my name.
Okay. What's going on?
I know that Coast to Coast has a lot of talks about Big Brother monitoring.
Yes.
And there's a commercial I saw not too long ago, and it was Home Depot, but my friend's actually saying it might be one of the other home improvement sites, but it's about registering your home, and I'm not sure how they go about doing it, but they say that you upload your home information, and then it goes onto a database. The purpose, I guess, is to help you if you ever break a bolt or a lock, or you need this particular thing for your home.
That's Home Depot or Lowe's. One of those two have been doing those commercials. You're right.
Right. To me, it's scary to think that every nut and bolt of your home, every little component, is now uploaded online. And if someone wanted to know exactly what type of locks I have, or window sealant, or whatever, that's now available. And although it's not, I know, something that's not publicly posted.
Right.
In case we have it goes to.
What if somebody hacks into them or something?
Exactly. Not all databases are safe, as we know. So to me, that's something that's scary. And it seems like it might be a part of that program, but not necessarily intentionally.
I agree with you.
Action behind it.
I agree with you. So I think we give away too much information, don't you?
Definitely. Now that, you know, that could be viewed by anyone online, I don't think anyone needs to know it. Oh. And I know that information. I see how it would be helpful to people who are building a home or contractors are renovating a home. They can go to Home Depot and say, oh, yeah, that's what I need or that's what I have, and they have the replacement part. But it's definitely to a point where every little bit about you and your life is becoming available. And databases aren't safe. Hackers are, some can be very smart.
There is there's a magician who is from the United Kingdom. He's in LA right now, and he claims that he can find anybody because of social networking, anybody, and he'll know exactly where they are. And we may try to get him on while he's still out here, and see how he does that and put him to the test. Let's go to Las Vegas. Anthony's with us, west of the Rockies. Hey, Anthony, welcome to the program.
Hey, George, how's it going?
Good. All is well in Coast to Coast land here.
I have to truly say thank you to you and everyone at Coast to Coast for keeping millions of us entertained late at night.
You got it. That's our job, our role, and we are happy to please.
Well, thank you. Well, what I was calling about was a couple weeks ago, I heard one of your guests mention something about the Norway spiral.
Yes.
And I had actually went to YouTube and watched it, and I was truly amazed at it, you know, because I mean, I think it could be a UFO or something. But the thing that, you know, I've showed it to a lot of my friends and family, and it doesn't pass the eye test with them. They say, oh, it's fake. Don't listen to it. But I kind of look at it, you know, glass half full and think, you know, what if it is? This is something that's truly, truly amazing, you know?
Well, it's not fake. The big question is, what is it? And most people say that it's a rocket that went out of control, a Russian rocket. I don't know. I don't think so. It's something else. It's weird.
I had heard that explanation of it as well, and I just don't buy it. I just don't think a rocket would produce that kind of imagery and just have it be that. I mean that was something amazing. You know, I personally really think it was a UFO or something, and I don't know whether or not, you know, there's aliens in it or it's possibly our government.
Richard C. Hoagland says that it was a message sent to President Obama at the time by somebody.
I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it.
Could be. Okay, my friend. Next up, we go to Chicago, and Caleb is with us on Coast to Coast. Hello, hey. Caleb.
Hey, how are you?
Okay.
Well, a couple things I want to talk about here.
Right.
First off, on topic of the toenail clipper thing, I've never had that problem. I cut my toenails with a pocket knife. That's how my grandpa's done it. That's what I've always done.
How do you do that?
Well, just sideways. I mean, it was really kind of hard to explain. You start on the side, and you sideways, and yeah.
Well, have you ever nipped yourself with a pocket knife?
Oh, yeah. I got a scar on my thumb here.
Well, you kind of, like, missed, and into your thumb
it
went.
Yeah, definitely.
I would not recommend people do that, Caleb.
Well, I'd like a stuck hog, but a couple things just in general. Do you ever hear, like, they had a bunch of videos on YouTube about the trumpet sounds heard all over the world?
Oh, yeah. A lot of them are hoaxes, but some of them are really strange. The one in Costa Rica especially is weird.
Yeah, you know, like, I've always been going outside ever since then trying to hear it, and I really haven't, you know, and I'm not really one that necessarily believes in ghosts or the paranormal or that kind of thing. So it's just a little unusual, you know?
Might be a sign from the heavens.
Maybe. What do you think about, like, as far as the paranormal goes? Like, I don't believe in ghosts, right? What would be something that, I don't know, I mean, my girlfriend swears that they exist and all this stuff. What would be something that a non-believer
Let me ask you something, Caleb. Do you believe in life after death? Do you believe that when you die, you could go somewhere, some other dimension, heaven, hell, any place?
To an extent, you know. I mean, I really don't think that anybody has any solid proof as to what happens after death, so it's kind of hard to say.
So it's possible.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so why not stay that open about the possibility of ghosts?
See, that's kind of what I'm asking. I mean, I'm not able to fully say that I don't believe in it, but what would be the proof otherwise that they do exist? How would I go about finding this kind of proof?
Well, you know? You're in the Chicago area. There could be a couple great ghost hunter groups that you might want to go on a few trips and things like that. I haven't seen a ghost either, but
yeah.
I believe there's something on the other side. I believe that people have seen strange occurrences. A lot of people, for example, in the book I wrote with Rosemary Ellen Guiley, Talking to the Dead, as we talk about various cases of people who try to communicate with the other side. You know, how about these episodes where someone dies in the family, the phone rings, you pick it up, and it's the dead person who just passed away. People have sworn that they've heard things like that. I don't think all those stories are made up. There's something else going on out there. So anyways, my recommendation is keep an open mind, get in with some various groups, and maybe it'll happen to you. A lot of this is based on faith. You have to have a faith belief system if you're going to believe all that. Let's go to our first time caller, Dave, truck driving in Minnesota, where I will be in October at an event. Hey, David, welcome.
Hey, thank you.
What's going on?
Oh, first of all, the fingernail thing. Yeah, I've done that to my pinky fingernail.
Oh.
Yeah, it's clipped it off. It bleeds for a while. That's all.
Depends on how deep you snap it off.
Yeah. Now, I got a question now. I've had dreams, and one very recent one occurred, come true. But I've had them periodically over the last couple, 3 years, and I've kind of wanted to look into to get some books on psychics and stuff.
Yeah.
In the Bible, it talks about we're not allowed to practice witchcraft, we're not allowed to talk to the dead. So all these things make me paranoid. I don't know if I should really go further with this, try to find out what, you know, if it's a psychic ability, I want to enhance it, but I'm scared to.
Well, you know, let me tell you this, David. Far be it for me to say anything negative about the Bible, so I'm not going to do that. However, I think, you know, you should explore everything you can in the world of psychics and mediums and things like that. I think are very important to people, and I would continue to do that. I don't think you're doing anything wrong if you try to experience that at all. So I would keep going for that, indeed. By the way, we're coming up to the break already. Fast night, I'll tell you. And I want to tell you a little bit about what's in store for the rest of the week. But John B. Wells will be with us on Saturday. And on Sunday, Ian Punnett joins us. Ian does one Sunday a month now for us after his medical condition, which prohibited him from doing his regular Saturday night show. So John B. Wells was kind enough to take that slot. And Ian will still do one Sunday a month for us. George Knapp will do a couple, and I'll do one. And then once in a blue moon, when we have a fifth Sunday, then we'll figure out what we're going to do between John Wells or even Rob Simone helping us. Whitley Strieber has helped us out as well. So I'm going to be back in a moment. We'll take more of your open line phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, it's time for our shout out to those of you listening to Coast on more than 560 radio stations across North America. Hello to all of you. Coast Insiders, thank you for your support. XM Talk Channel 168. And what about the various chat rooms all around the world? Into Infinity, Fantastic Forum 2, Imaginative World, Sorcery IRC. Hello to all of you, great people. Those of you who follow us on Facebook and Twitter, Yahoo Chat, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, Greg the Cook in St. Louis, who probably is weathering a storm as we speak. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Tom is back in the other studio, and he's got a text message for us. What do you got, Tom?
George, one from Lucas in Virginia. He says, hey, George, has anyone ever done you a favor you will never forget, and what was it?
There was a guy by the name of Guy Gibson. He's dead now. Gifford Guy Gibson was his real name, Tom. Let me tell you a brief story about him. When I got my very first radio job, I was 21 years old. You know, it was WCAR in Detroit, Call Letters of Change. There's a new WCAR again in the city. It's a different station. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was just a kid. I was, you know, in my third year of college. I had a little baby girl. I'd gotten married to my high school sweetheart. I didn't know much about writing. You know, they taught us things in college, but there's nothing like the school of hard knocks out there. And everybody who's a dedicated hard worker in America or Canada listening to this program, they know that is when you're working. It's outside. Anyway, you know, so I got hired by this radio station for $149 a week. I thought I was the world's richest guy, and my job was to be a little street reporter, to go out with my Sony tape recorder at the time and go to news conferences, fires, murders, you name it. And my very first interview was with Stanton Friedman, if you remember.
The godfather of ufology.
Right. And anyway, this guy was a radio guy. He was on the air. His name was Guy Gibson. He must have weighed 450 pounds. Huge guy. I mean, huge. And he would always make me go out and get hamburgers for him and bring them back. But I would do voiceovers for him. All right. I'd be on the scene of a city council meeting in Detroit. I'd write it up and I'd voice it in like, this is George Norrie at the city council meeting. And he would say, don't like it, do it again. And I said, you want me to do it again? Or he said, no, rewrite it, do it again. So I rewrote it. I'd have to call him back. And he says, you know, we got a 15-minute deadline here, so let's go. 3, 2, 1, Mark. This is George Norrie at the city councilman. And he said, don't like it, rewrite it again. This guy, Tom, for 6 months, had me in tears. I hated the guy. I don't hate anybody. I hated this guy.
Yeah, but you learned.
And one day he took me out and he said, you're getting really good now. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, I've been working with you for 6 months, and you are doing great now. And he said, you're on your way. You're not going to need my tutoring much more. And it dawned on me that Guy Gibson at the time was just trying to make me the best I can be. And I learned from him. It was a favor he gave me that I never forgot. He got another job at a radio station in Dallas, Texas. Those people listening to us now on KLIF probably know his name, Gifford Guy Gibson. And when Guy died, he was living in a high-rise condo. The only way they could get him out of there was to put him on a bed sheet, and they dragged his body down the hallway to the elevator.
No.
That's how big he had gotten. But I'm telling you, I never forgot the gift that he gave me.
Do you ever feel like when people do a favor for you, like you owe them?
No, and you know, I'm the kind of guy that when I do a favor to someone, I don't expect anything back. You know, whether you lend a few bucks to somebody, by the way, don't ever expect money back.
Never.
If you lend it to friends.
Never.
If you lend it out, it ain't coming back. No, I don't expect favors back. I do it because I do it because I want to from the heart. I don't do it to get something back.
But do you feel like you owe them because they did you a favor?
No. I mean, I will help them if I have to. I don't ask for many favors. I'm more of a giver than a taker.
You are a giver, George.
Yeah, you know, so be it. Anyways, that's my life story in a nutshell.
All righty,
thanks, Tom. Next up, let's go to Mike in Livermore, California. It's got to be the guy who has a picture up in my office with his puppies listening to his Sea Crane radio.
Yeah, I hear you incorporated that into a commercial.
I did do that with you.
Yeah, where's my royalty check?
Well, I didn't get one. Yeah. I didn't get it. You don't get it either.
Well, you know what? I'll do Sea Crane radio commercials all day long for you.
That's a great company.
I own 3 Sea Crane radios. I have a CC Witness. I just got the twin coil ferrite antenna for Christmas, which just enhances my Witness so much. I live in a valley out here in Livermore, so radio reception isn't so great. And that twin coil antenna.
Oh, it's powerful, isn't it, Michael?
Oh, it's fantastic. It increases reception by tenfold easily.
Hey, I hear your Oakland Raiders might move to Los Angeles.
No, never going to happen.
You don't think so?
No, actually, the rumors I'm hearing is they're still trying to work out a deal with the 49ers and maybe get in on that stadium down in Santa Clara.
I don't think they'll ever get the Giants out of, the 49ers out of San Francisco.
Oh, no. It's already a done deal. In fact, the NFL's already okayed it, and they'll be going down to Santa Clara soon. Candlestick's so old.
But that's not that. I thought you meant that they were going to come to Los Angeles as an expansion team or as a moved team.
No. They're working on a deal down in Santa Clara, which is just
that's not that far.
San Jose.
Yeah, that's
not far. And originally they were talking with the Raiders about doing a dual stadium and sharing it because they're usually one team's away and one team's at home. And so I hear that still might happen down in Santa Clara, which would be great.
Well, I'm hearing rumors though that the Oakland Raiders may move to LA or the St. Louis Rams may move back there. So who knows?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I think they'll stay in Oakland. I think they just got to get a new stadium. That Coliseum's getting really old.
Is there money for a new stadium out there?
Probably not, unless they go to, like, the 49ers and get into a city near Oakland.
Yeah.
I don't think Oakland's ever going to do it.
No, probably not.
They were the reason why they left. I have clipped one of my fingers with the fingernail clippers. It is possible.
Gosh.
But then
you must, those things are so sharp, and you squeeze them like a vise. They've got to chop off a piece of your finger.
Oh, yeah. It bled. It wasn't anything that didn't grow back. I mean, this was probably 20 years ago or so, because I can barely remember the details. But as soon as you said that at the beginning of the open lines, I just started laughing because I have done it.
That hurts.
But I'm like the other guy. I either chew my fingernails off or I cut them with a knife. I don't go near them.
Michael, listen to this story. Years ago, in the old days, the refrigerator handles weren't what they were today. Where today you've got the top and the bottom of the handle connected to the refrigerator as one piece, and you just hold it like a handle, and you pull the door open. Well, in those old days, this was the kind of handle that pulled down and it bent, okay? It bent and in the...
Well, it was on a pivot.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with it.
That's right. And so it popped open the door. Well, my little sister, who was everywhere at the time, stuck her finger underneath the handle that pivots, and my aunt, who didn't see her because she was just a little squirt, opened the door and chopped off her finger. About 1 inch of her finger gone. And my sister, she was like 3 years old at the time. She's screaming and crying. I'm 11. And my mother picked up the finger, the piece of it. They rushed her to the hospital, and they sewed it back on. And it works. Now, you talk about that as a story. Anyways, thanks, Michael, for your call. Let's take a few more calls here. Let's go to Dennis in Chicago, Illinois. What's going on in the Windy City, Dennis?
Too much. It's snowed a little bit today. Blackhawks lost again. So, we're going to the Central.
My Red Wings are strong.
Yeah, the Red Wings and the Blues. So,
yeah,
that's kinda,
I can't lose.
But anyway, George, I just wanted to say how much of an honor it really is to talk to you. And I really wanted to thank you for a couple things. I work a cubicle job where I basically just listen to you all day. I'm a Coast Insider, things like that.
Well, thank you.
And you really provide kind of like the extra element for those of us kind of living out in the material world. Like, that extra element of mystery and wonder. And I really, really appreciate that from you.
Thank you.
And then also, I think that you're just a great model for how we should treat each other. I mean, you have the craziest people on the show, and you treat them all, you give them all the benefit of the doubt, and it's just great to listen to. And the third and final thing will be my question, which is, thank you for introducing us all to the greatest storyteller ever born, Lionel Fanthorpe.
Whose birthday was yesterday, by the way.
Was it really?
Yeah.
What's going on with Lionel? You guys seem like you're really close. Haven't heard him on the show for a while.
He pops in a couple times during the year, always around Christmas, sometimes in between. He's probably coming up for another appearance. I know Tom books him a lot. He used to be Behind the Secret Door. You know that show I do where I don't know who the guests are?
And, oh, yeah. I actually have an entire playlist of all of Lionel's segments.
He's great. What a voice, huh?
Seriously. And Spring-Heeled Jack.
Yep. I can sit and listen to his stories time and time again. I mean, even when I interview him, it's one of those just sit back and listen and don't interrupt him. You know, he's that good.
Yep. And then can I just do a quick shout-out to my friend Alex?
Sure thing.
On to Coast to Coast.
All right, Alex.
And we, you know, we listen to you every day, and you carry us through the week. So
all right,
thanks,
Dennis.
A lot, George.
Thank you, my friend. You take care. Yeah, the Coast Insiders, by the way, it is really a family club now. And, you know, it's been with us for a while. We began to perfect it. It's getting even better. It's just an additional way to listen to your show. I mean, I'm glad you're listening on your favorite radio stations. They are the backbone of this program. But Coast Insiders allow you to download 1,000 past programs. And, you know, we kicked it around. What do you want to charge for something like that? Some places are outrageous. We charge less than 25 cents a day. You know, we try to cover as many costs as we can with that. And there's a staff. That's all they do. They just do those kinds of things, and they're great, great, dedicated people. But they're working on new apps and new things like that, and it is amazing at how fast technology goes. As soon as they get one prototype done, and they come running into my office, George, listen to this thing. They got to change it again because another thing has come up and has already outdated it. Truly amazing. Let's go to Redwood City, California. Ted, what's on your mind? Go ahead.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good, Ted, good.
Hey, man, you are freaking me out here with this fingernail thing.
What happened?
Okay, so my number one phobia is anything to do with fingernails or toenails, and specifically mine being damaged by anything. And, oh, man. So this morning, I start out the day. I've been looking forward to this. I knew I was going to get about 10 minutes of free time in the shower where I could lock the door and read my favorite book by my favorite science fiction author, Neal Stephenson. He's got this new book out.
Sure.
And I open it up, and he goes into this page-long description of someone having their fingernail broken. So I'm trying to get this out of my head all day long. And then my wife comes home from work. She slammed her fingernail in the door of her car.
Oh, my God.
At the office. Yeah. And so she tells me this. I'm just like, I'm squirming. I mean, it's just like hearing about anything having to do with fingernails makes me feel as if my fingernails are being torn out. And, I mean, I don't know. It's just maybe I was like a POW in Vietnam in a past life or something. It's just it's horrifying. And so finally, I've heard about fingernails being smashed in two different contexts twice today, and I've got it out of my mind, and I'm going out to the garage. I'm going to have a beer. I'm going to relax for a few minutes.
Sit back and listen to Coast to Coast.
And your special topic of the night is fingernails. I mean, come on, man. What are you trying to do to me?
I love it. I love it. And I'm reading a story at how in Iraq or Libya or someplace, to punish somebody, they pull out their fingernails.
Dude, enough. Come on. Seriously, new topic. But you're killing me, man.
I love it.
Hey, I love your show. I've been listening to Art Bell since, like, 95, and you have assumed the mantle admirably, sir.
Thank you, my friend.
Love your show.
Loving it. Okay, take care.
Take care.
Absolutely. Time for a few more calls before the top of the hour break, and then we will roll right back. Natalie's with us, first-time caller. Where are you calling from, Natalie?
I'm in Omaha.
Oh, well, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
What's going on?
I wanted to know if you believe the story surrounding Mel's Hole and if you'd heard any updates about it.
We haven't had any updates about Mel's Hole. A couple things have happened in the last year. One of our regular guests of the old days, and we've had him on a couple times, Red Elk, talks about that hole indeed. And then we tried to get a hold of Mel Waters, and we had his email address, and he responded back to us. And now the email address apparently doesn't work. Nobody knows where the guy is or what it is. Do I believe in it? It's a fascinating story. I think it's very possible that there's a hole that seems to be unlimited wherever it goes. Absolutely. See, one of the mysteries of Coast to Coast, and I was telling this, I got a call from some folks at one of the networks, and they wanted a meeting last week. So I went down and we chatted about the program. And they asked me all kinds of questions about my belief and this and that. And this is what I told them, and I'll tell you too, Nat. It doesn't matter what I believe. It doesn't matter whether I believe in UFOs or ghosts or Bigfoot. I may. In some cases, I may not. What matters is what you believe in. And by listening to the compelling guests and the people who call and things like that, that's what's important. And so my answer to you is, I don't know about Mel's Hole, but it's a fascinating possible story. And that's one of the mysteries of Coast to Coast, because you just never know. I mean, some things seem to be so outlandish. We've covered those, but there's always that possibility that maybe, just maybe. I mean, common sense tells you, right? There are no aliens walking around on this planet. They're not among us. But you know what? It's possible they might, and that's the magic of the show. Let's go to David in St. Petersburg, Florida. David, welcome to the program.
How you doing?
Good, David.
I was just kind of curious. It's not a problem, but it's just like everywhere I go, I see 13.
And yeah, I know. Has it been that way all the time, or is it just starting?
Oh, no, like a year. And, you know, I look at the clock. It doesn't matter, you know, what time it is. It could be 3:13, 5:13.
Yeah, mine is 11. I'm seeing 11:11. All the time, or three ones in a row or something like that. So yours is 13. Next time we have the numbers lady on, Glynis McCants, I'll ask her what the 13 means. I think every series and sequence of numbers means something to us as individuals, whatever it may be. So for some reason, the 13 is important to you, and you see it. It's just like when you go out and you get a new car, you never see that car until you buy one, and then all of a sudden everyone seems to be driving it. I don't know why that happens either. We'll be back in a moment. More open lines on Coast to Coast AM.